Welcome to the Blacklist After Buzz After Show, Episode 9, Seafood Company. Damn it. Number 11. Let's start. Bye.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I said, okay, you scared me.
Yeah.
It's number 9, Joe.
Number 9.
Is it 9?
I'm shaky on my New Year's. Welcome to the Blacklist After Buzz After Show. We're here. Happy 2017. Woo! Happy 2017 premiere of the Blacklist. Mm-hmm. And to celebrate Blacklist Episode 9.
Yes.
Nine.
To celebrate,
we have
two special guests. One special guest in the studio, one that I've been teasing all season, and we finally got him. It's Mr. Amir Arison.
Woo!
Right now.
Yes!
Yes!
In the flesh!
Yes!
Psyched to be here. It's been almost 2 years.
Has it really?
Man!
Can you believe that?
Old God. Studio and everything.
It was 6 months ago.
This is the Scimitar of episode season 2.
Yes! So that's what it was.
Which was 207.
Episode 2.
And now we're 409.
Man over here has a brain inside.
No, I'm just obsessed with details of the Blacklist.
Oh. Wow. Well, we're very happy to have you. He plays the character of Aram
Moshtabai.
Moshtabai.
Aram Moshtabai.
There was a 5-minute practice session. And Joe still.
And
but
now,
you're not alone.
I will never say that name again.
Aram Moshtabai.
I got so much shit.
No, I'm the one who's the king of mispronouncing names.
Yes.
I mispronounce names.
James,
job.
Gets it. Like, I mean, he worked on it, and, like, he talked to Mojan and me, and he was like, James says it with, like, an Iranian flair.
It's so, he says everything with flair. Anything
so
that comes
great.
Out of that man's mouth.
Always sounds like it was dipped in gold and then
yes.
spoken.
Yes, just like this.
But if he ever says, listen, if he ever says Agent Moshtabai, listen to his Moshtabai. I mean, there's like a twinkle. It's the funniest thing.
He's pretty proud of his pronunciation.
Yes.
Well, I'm very, very happy to be here. I want to get a couple of quick, some business things out of the way. First thing is, I want to say congratulations to you, Joe Sanfilippo.
How's that?
Because you were Ginger Breddington over
oh
the break.
Oh, my God.
Yes, we had
can't get you off of my damn TV.
Joe Sanfilippo was the star and the voice of Target.
Well,
gigantic
yes.
campaign.
Shh, that,
the, he the, was, let me just say it. Shut up. He was on my radio with Ryan Seacrest.
Oh, yes.
He was on my TV on my football games. He's on my Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
I could not get Ginger frickin' Breddington out of my grill.
Amazing, man.
My best friend. I love you.
Here's the deal with a holiday campaign. On December 25th, they go away. Poof! Like they never happened. So,
yes,
it was great fun.
You never know.
Yeah, you never know. It was the second year they did that one.
You were Ginger Breddington last year.
Yes, and then
Ginger Breddington this year.
So cool gig, man.
Yes, no qualms about it.
And if they don't bring Ginger Breddington back... For 2017, we're going to start a letter writing campaign.
I don't think that's
necessary. That sounds like a future blacklister.
Exactly.
The Ginger Breddington man.
The cookie did it.
He's going to come and like outvoice you and just like
He would do. I mean, whoever you guys cast,
he could just command people with his voice.
Yeah.
He hypnotizes them.
What's his name?
The Gingerbread Man.
I'm in good company. I'm going to have a good 2016. And I'm the only one here who hasn't been on national television on a national television ad. You have.
I've had a couple under my belt.
Yes.
And you're on a freaking TV show.
I
just sit around.
Wins.
I'm the Jack.
Is it AfterBuzz? Isn't this the ABC network?
Yeah, that's right.
And AfterBuzz
international.
Let's be real.
You just told me.
Give him the news.
A billion downloads worldwide.
A billion downloads. That's the other piece of
this past year
for the show, and 20 million
weekly.
That's pretty huge, guys.
So 20 million weekly, a billion downloads total. Congratulations to AfterBuzz TV.
Started with nothing. I mean, that's how things start. But I mean, you know.
I also want to say hello to all of our folks who are joining us live in the chat room. All of our normal. This is where I really get into trouble. From India.
Oh, this is my favorite part. Come
from
on.
From India. Angus Sapurio.
Oh, no.
Angus Sapu.
Nothing good to
Angus Sapu. Saha. Damn it.
If you could see how uncomfortable
it's great to have
Mr.
you back,
Mr.
Ramirez,
right now.
Ginny D, nice to see you. Sammy, Watson Keen, of course, all you folks. Maybe give me a phonetic pronunciation.
Just show. All right. Julia.
Yeah. Oh, no,
Julia.
No, not
Julia can never pronounce her name.
Where is it?
No one. Angasapurai.
Show me. I can't take it.
No, we're supposed to do a show.
No, we've got to figure this out.
Oh, I bet now I put the pressure on
25
myself.
25 minutes here to figure this out.
It's a handle. It's not a name.
Well, I don't know.
Ankshapriya.
Ankshapriya. That's what I said.
Ankshapriya Saha.
That's what I said.
That's right. In no way what you said.
That's exactly what I said. Ankshapriya, it's great to have you.
Nicely
done. Sammy Tuesday.
Save this from
everyone, hi, we're all here. Joe and Joe, yeah, and Joe Sanfilippo is actually here.
Yes.
That happened.
Make a note, tell your friends.
Also, if
it's a 2017 miracle.
If things weren't crowded enough, which we're very happy, we also have on the line the lovely Jody Walker from Entertainment Week.
Woo!
Jody, are you there?
Surprise.
Is that true?
Hello, friend.
Hi. How are you?
Hi, Jody.
I'm good. I can tell you're having a lot of fun without me, and I'm trying not to be jealous.
It's all right.
Do people know that Jody Walker writes the EW recaps?
Yes. Familiar. She comes on, she talks about the recaps, we talk about her
I read
recaps.
Them after every episode.
So brilliant.
They're very, very
They're
good.
Hilarious.
Yes.
They're very good.
No pressure.
So, we thought it was time when we finally brought her on the show because we were just stealing her material after
this. Like, and it wasn't even like, we weren't even being clever about it. We're like, how did she say it? Let's just say it.
I always say. Look, you can have your recap.
And Jody, we did
3,000 words. It's too much for one person.
we did a live interview at the end of last season, right? In person. Oh, God. I hope I'm not getting that wrong.
Uh-oh.
No, that must have been someone else.
But whoever they were, they're not Jody Walker. And now you guys are hanging out, and he reads you every week. So that's cool. So you guys are like, you're practically sisters already.
Jody, I'm so sorry. I did an EW.
That is okay. I bet that was Natalie Abrams. Blacklist. She is excellent. Okay.
I apologize. I heard EW and got excited.
I have also never done a national TV campaign, and I think only like 20 people have ever seen my face in real life, including not Amir, who I did not do an interview with.
Jody, mea culpa.
I think, Jody, it's time you fly out to LA and come sit in on the panel with us.
Yeah.
I agree.
Okay.
And our weather is a little bit nicer. I'm not trying to brag or anything, but... I've been to your town. We do have nicer weather.
You might enjoy it.
What town?
Yeah.
What town is it?
Yeah, it's real south.
New York, Manhattan.
She's in New York.
She's in beautiful, beautiful Manhattan.
Why don't you? Yeah. Why wasn't that interview with you?
Yeah. Next one will be. Promise you that.
Yeah. One day.
But
one
here's day. What we have. We have here an episode to discuss. We have to talk about the Black
Lips.
Yes. Oh, the
Lippet Seafood.
What we're going to do is just, we're gonna talk about episode 9, the Lippet Seafood Company. Blacklister number 111. We're going to talk about that. We're going to get through a little bit of that, and then we're going to transition into a bunch of Aram talk.
Yeah.
Because
Aram talk.
Tons of questions. Like Joe wants to know about the jogger spy. He wants to know.
By the way, Elise. Not for nothing.
Elise.
I called that instantly. I said, no, nobody on this show gets to have a happy ending. Nobody.
Yeah.
He did.
Nobody on this show.
It's one of the few times.
But the way
Flippo's
they did it was
right.
Still
one of the few times.
I mean, I even was like, this is too good to be. I was like, don't tell me writers, don't tell me anyone who reads the early draft, don't tell me. Annie who played Elise, who is a sweetheart.
Yeah.
I was like, if you know, don't tell me.
Oh, so
I want to enjoy this relationship on the show as long as I can, because it's probably going to be like 4 seconds long.
So hold on. So you didn't know for the first couple episodes of the arc that she was...
Hells no.
Really?
I mean...
You suspect?
I know what show I work on.
Yeah.
I was like, something's going to be up.
Right.
When she called me at work... When she FaceTimed me at work,
yeah.
I was like, I'm not supposed to take the call. I was like, Aram.
Oh,
what are you doing?
No.
But,
sweetheart Aram.
But I still was surprised at how they did it and how they revealed it.
So what do they call that? It's a honeypot, right? Isn't that what they call it when it's the beautiful woman spy? Isn't that what they call it, a honeypot?
Honeypot is I feel like James Spader is the honeypot of the Blacklist. Like, right. Get everybody to...
Yes.
Get everybody to watch... And then hopefully you'll stick around.
Bring everybody in.
That's my understanding of honeypot.
You're probably right.
She was a honeypot for Aram.
She was. For sure.
Without
a doubt. And for me, too. For all of us, actually.
She was pretty hot.
It's separate.
Yeah.
I'm also very interested in your, you know, when you went in for your meeting with Panna Baker. This episode, you kind of ran through your past love. I'm particularly interested in April Rotterhouse and her porn addiction.
Oh, yes.
Funny story, actually.
I really want to know what that story is.
How funny is that story? What happened?
Did you make one up?
An actor never reveals his secret stories.
Of course,
I am a nerd and had to think of what happened and how to. But there was, I think, there was one more midget of a line. Wrong word to use that. Smidget of a line. I'm full of wonderful faux pas today. There was a smidget of a line that was, you know, there's always little trims and stuff. There was a smidget of a line is like, funny story, actually. And I turned to Cooper, and then I also added, but probably not appropriate for mixed company. As I looked at Panabaker and stuff, but that was.
Oh,
so
should
good.
Left that in.
No,
I love
there's always
that
little.
Cooper kind of really wanted to know the story it looked like. He's like,
He was like my pal, right?
Yeah.
He's backing me up.
That was sweet, actually, the secret girl in there backing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he has everyone's back these days. Mm-hmm. Not these days, but he's really going to bat. And, well, let's talk. So we have this episode here where we're back. We've gone through all of the fallout, all the Alexander Kirkington.
Wait, can I ask you a question? Yes. How did that all shake out? Did we come up with a conclusion as to who Liz's dad was? Did we? I think we did. I feel like we did, right?
Do you watch the show?
Did we? I just want a review for people who.
Well,
may
actually,
not
Jody,
remember.
I want to ask Jody. Jody, can you give me your sort of assessment as sort of where just your like quick, your where we left off and where we are. Like, explain to me like I'm a 5-year old, Joseph Lippo.
Explain it to me as if I were a child.
Give it
without
to us, and then we can have Amir tell us we're wrong.
Oh, I just feel like we left off as up in the air as ever. Like it felt like something, and then I rewatched it, and I was like, wait, that wasn't anything. We left off with Kirk definitely not being Liz's father, proved through science, and with Red saying, in response to, are you the father? Yes. Is that what you want me to say? Which just somehow does not feel very definite to me.
Right. This is like the longest.
There was also a name change in there. I'm just saying.
There was what?
A name change. Elizabeth's father and then Lizzie's father.
I just want to. I want to.
Throwing that in there.
Yes. There. I don't know the answers to this question, but I just want to. Jody is usually very on point, but there was a micro mistake in that assessment. I will just say, in the quote you used, Jody, just now about what Reddington said, I would just say go back and watch that scene.
What did he say?
Say? And watch that scene. And I think Daniel Cerrone on Twitter was also like, key scene for those theorists and everything.
Well,
and
why don't you just say for the trouble? If you
but I don't know. I don't know, but I'm reading it like that episode was the first time I started, I in my own Amir interpretation, I just refer to myself in the third person. I am not full of faux pas.
Say that again,
Jody.
I thought he said, Kirk asked him if he's the father, and he's like, you know, in pain and suffering, and he says, yes. ... Is that what you want to hear?
Go back and watch it. I think I may be wrong, but I would say go back and watch the scene.
There was a back and forth. That's what I meant. Masha to Elizabeth.
Yes. Okay.
There was a back and forth, Jody. That was. It's like you're very close, but I just syntax. Mm-hmm. It matters to James much, and matters to the writers.
See, the reason it's so important to us is because we have an ongoing bet. And last time we did this, I believe Braz was wearing a lovely peach number.
Lovely,
as I recall.
Yeah, that happened.
A little salmon color.
It was a beautiful white
tank top. Chest hair coming through.
He looked
it was
terrific.
Beautiful.
Last time we were here.
The three of us were here.
This ongoing bet. We've had it through a couple of different shows where if someone stakes their claim on this is the truth and they get completely wrong, then they have to wear the blouse of shame.
And that's funny.
And so I had a yellow blouse of shame several seasons ago, but Joe had a peach. It was peach, wasn't it?
I don't remember.
It's a beautiful.
That.
It was a beautiful salmon.
It was a lovely shade on him.
Neon and pastels from here on out.
Yes.
I actually don't know. I only know a few episodes ahead. Okay. I don't know, but
I don't have a blouse of shame.
No, you haven't had
this
one yet.
Anything I wear could be the blouse of shame.
I'll tell you what, this is the longest Maury Povich of all time. 4 years, and we still don't know for sure. I feel like we know for sure at this point.
So I actually completely blacked out. So back to this episode to get back on track.
Did you see your blacked out?
The episode at hand.
So
let's get through this.
We get through it. We open up. We see this. We see the fish company happening. We see a raid on this fish company. We see that there's actually some chips being stuffed inside or taken outside of the fish themselves. Mm-hmm. We see a raid. you know, of some sort. We see everyone getting taken out with a nice close up of the fish, maybe like an homage to Sleep with the Fishes, I imagine, when they die. We find out later that this is a raid to get these chips, which are used for. Manufactured by us here in America, used for high-end guidance systems of some sort.
But more specifically, for the Iron Dome, as
well,
we find out later on.
But that's not, I'm trying
oh,
to
you're,
be...
we're going on... Oh,
yeah,
I
you
got
you. Take
my bad,
on
I'm sorry. My mistake. No, please. I'm sorry. I thought we were trying to save some time.
Yeah, that's all right. I'm working on it. We're brothers, Jody. We love each other.
Blackthorn Kincaid was the
Blackthorn Kincaid.
The
sexiest name of all
the US
time.
I know.
That's what I try to tell.
If I ever have a son, I might name him Blackthorn Kincaid.
Oh, yeah. What did Jody Walker? What did you write last night?
Julia, that is asking for trouble.
You wrote last night, Jody Walker. Didn't you last night write about Blackthorn Kincaid is also a porn name? What did you say?
Oh, no, romance.
I think it could be the name of a male protagonist.
Yeah, in an erotic novel.
I was going to say, that's what I made the ladies
big
call
difference
me.
Between erotic Dude. And
porn.
No.
I ask them to call me that.
Oh, well, as long as you ask me.
I say, you can call me Blackthorn Kincaid.
I love that you did it in an erotic novel. It's a Harlequin it's a Harlequin romance, and oh, I love it. I just love those names. Just Dirk.
Yeah.
And Rod and Blackthorn Kincaid.
So we—he's
a cowboy, you know that, right? I mean, he has to be.
We have an exchange with Red and
Harold
early on, talking about the fact that no matter what you do, you've gotten Lizzie's way. You've yet to figure out a way to sort of save her. You know, you can't get her.
Called him powerless to
rectify it. Yeah,
which was key, I feel.
He said,
like.
"You seem utterly obvious." You know, you seem utterly oblivious to the fact that you're in her way, and you seem powerless to rectify this.
It was nice to see Harold give him a little scolding too.
Yeah. And he took it, but of course he's Red, so he's like, "Watch this."
Challenge accepted.
Can I say something about that? I love those scenes for Harry because, you know, he has a thunder inside of him that has no bounds. I mean, he was like a legendary Othello in Chicago and he's a theater actor. And we sort of devised that Cooper is really the only one who can sort of put Red in his place.
I love it.
And call him out on his crap.
Yeah.
And has no qualms about it. So, and really, you know, they're similar in age. And so it's just awesome that there's a character. And, you know, Cooper, who is like, you know, the father figure to all of us on the task force, is like, you know, don't mess with us. Don't mess with me. Don't mess with this whole setup of, you know, FBI criminal, FBI and criminal. And it's just like, and also Coop's, I don't want to give away as we're talking, but towards the end of the episode calls out, you know, someone towards the very end of the episode about what so-and-so did. I don't want to give any spoilers away.
No,
but no one else can do that on the show.
Yeah.
I mean, even Red doesn't quite do that. I mean, he shoots them if he doesn't like what they do. But Red is like, don't. Yeah. So I love that.
We've been openly critical in the early days about sort of, we thought, you know, Harold was a fantastic actor. We thought he was maybe a bit wasted in the early days with a lot of like, check this out, and you know, go run a check on that. And we're so glad that he's developed into this wonderful character when you're using him in better ways. Man, I thought like this guy, like uncork him. And I think that the development of his character, your character, I mean, even Russell, I think other development,
well, like real relationships are being forged.
The beauty of getting to be on a show that goes into
for
a fourth season because they explore new elements as opposed to our initial functions.
Absolutely.
Exactly. It went straight from just straight procedural, straight business of what's going on into towards the middle of season two and beyond, like we're really sort of love and invest.
Yeah, that's what we've
characters.
Talked about a lot.
We
is,
keep talking about that. So we love that. So then, I don't know. Jody, what happens next? I'll let you continue on. So what happens next?
Oh, boy, where did we leave off?
We left off with the opening pre-Blacklister plot.
We haven't really gotten
17
very far.
Twists
basically,
to go.
No, we
haven't made
so
much progress.
So not get very far.
Yeah.
Let's see. So a mysterious group steals the chip that has come out of the fish.
We left with Red telling Cooper. We left with Cooper telling Red about it, and then Red gives him the case.
Check.
And the mysterious group. Sorry, continue about what that.
Yeah.
Well, what was
You guys go.
Well, what we find out is that the group that is with the fishmongers, who's pulling the chips out of the fish, it's Arcani, right? Which is New Martyrs Brigade.
NMB.
But the New Martyrs Brigade, they had a mysterious group sort of come in, shoot them all up, and steal from them.
Right.
So bad guys versus bad guys already.
Right.
We think.
But we don't know who that mysterious group is.
Well, we find out, and I'll just say, we find the mysterious group, we very quickly find out the mysterious group is actually
Mossad,
who we know that Navavi is still a part of, which I don't quite understand that, by the way. How does that work?
How does that work?
I'm no super spy, but how are you actively...
The technical answer is it's a TV show.
I don't know.
Mossad is a spy agency.
Well,
and
it has always seemed like she's kind of on loan.
Right.
And how would we... Mossad is a spy agency, and an FBI secret task force is technically sort of an undercover ops. So.
Right.
If these things do happen, how can we ever know?
I mean, we're friends, you know? We're it's not like it's Russia. I mean,
share intelligence.
Like that. Yeah, no, sure. That'd be weird if the president of the United States-elect was somehow infected with the president of Russia. That'd be frippin' crazy.
No, but so as we find out that not only do we find out, I'm going to skip to this, because we find out that it's that they're involved and that they... you know, are behind the operation, but then we later find out that actually Navavi planned the operation, mm-hmm. which is an even
huge,
greater twist,
huge
bomb
drop
through a shocking facial recognition reveal.
Yes.
Is that real? Do we know? Is that a thing?
Yeah,
what
it's all a thing. Bro.
That was a Blackthorn Kincaid proprietary trade secret,
and
they had a computer.
Yeah.
That was almost as good as a Rob's.
Yeah, I don't know. It was impressive.
At least the phrasing was that they can see facial features through soft fabric.
Amazing.
So what's the deal now? If you're going to go rob a place, you got to get on a fake jaw, too. You got to get like a big Ray Pratt jaw over your jaw.
You
got
to get a hard fabric.
I live tweeted last night with the writers, and like two of them were laughing.
Yeah. When they showed the face, they were like cracking up.
It was amazing.
It's fun.
So not only do you get the contours, you get the deep soul.
Well, I mean, look, in the world we live in now.
The cartoon Samar was so funny. She was like,
I think in the world of Snowden and everything else, I think the world we live in now, there's a big suspension of disbelief when it comes to anything that involves anything, you know. So, and the ability to take a look at that. So we find that out. They go to check this whole thing out. Navavi gets kidnapped. They, meaning Wrestler and the FBI, go to rescue her. They do manage to rescue her. I'm just glossing over this, obviously. Yes.
I feel like we're jumping a key plot point that affects... I mean, maybe you're doing an overall...
Well, no, I was going to go through these strands. I was going to go through the Lizzie sort of... the Liz bit. We're going to go through the Rom bit, and then we're going to go through just the...
But with the Mossad thing, Reddington gave us a tip that six NMB members are coming to the country. So I then did a search and could only come up with one name, Youssef Talisi.
Right.
And he's like, it doesn't fit the match perfect. It's almost there. There was some timeline issue. He's like, it fits the age and the countries, but something I like. I really appreciated that the writers was like, it wasn't a perfect fit. So Ron's like, almost on it.
Yeah.
Like, he almost. He's like, I don't think this is good.
Iffy.
And then she takes the lead, and she's like, let me search it out, which is sort of the beginning of the lie.
Yeah.
To Aram.
But that's super important because your character feels betrayed at the end by her, and so
there's more than one lie. Yeah.
And so the fireworks that were promised, picking a great restaurant and all that stuff, so then it turns out it's important. It's an important plot point.
Remember his name was actually Ezra Miller, and he was an undercover Mossad op pretending to be in the NMB. I don't know if he was pretending to be in the NMB. He was just undercover. Undercover in the U.S.
A businessman.
As a bad guy.
Well, he came up for
as a businessman.
He's got meetings and then he's going to head
sketchy businessman.
Sketchy as hell.
He came up as a sketchy businessman. Right. It was Red who first, like, that's not a.
He's like, that's
man.
A Mossad agent.
That's Mr. Mossad right there.
He knows, every with criminal his wife in Bangladesh six months ago. It was wonderful.
So
we just quickly say where Red got that intel about the six members coming in from that excellent woman.
Yes.
Wendy. I can't though because Lazy Bones just barfed in the kitchen, so
played by Portia.
Oh.
She's just a one name.
Oh, like Prince. Like Beyonce.
Correct.
Okay.
And she is a phenomenal theater actress.
Oh.
Who I first saw in a play that was directed by the late great Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh. Mm.
A Labyrinth play, and she's like a phenomenal known theater actress in New York City.
It's really great. It's much great shooting in New York because you have access to.
Yes, we
have all of our same pool of actors who do the same stuff, these guys. But in New York, we.
Why for so angry?
But in New York, you have these wonderful theater actors.
I just sell cereal, man.
She's so mad.
I have a sense that she'll probably come back just whenever there's a red person that does stuff for him.
And
they do a great job like that.
I love building that cast of characters.
His group, I know.
Yeah, they're my favorite. I look forward to it every single episode. So this is a new one that I'm really excited to see again in the future.
I'll reveal a tiny little personal secret.
Sure.
I always get a tiny bit jealous when Red goes to find some secret hacky intelligence information. I remember Borokov and then all these
Damn
other
Damn it, that's my job!
And then when he had that secret facility and he had Chester,
You're like, come on!
Aron can do it for you, maybe.
Yeah. You guys know
just
this
ask.
Is my gig, right?
I was just like, I just want to scene with James, and then I'm like, it's just to find it. Every time I see that, I was like, who's this lady? But she killed it, and it was great.
I will say that I think the writers do an excellent job of building out those ancillary characters in that very short amount of time.
Killer.
Like, what we know about her, what we know about Portia's character in that short interaction is like, is
the
worlds.
Kids, the husband,
the that's
all there.
Her and Red Tim was fantastic.
I was just going to say, I really felt it last night with her and her just being this kind of random woman who knows everything, that it reinforces this idea that, yes, Red is this kind of like omnipotent, amazing criminal, but he's only as good as these weird, odd, crazy, also good people that he finds.
Yes.
He's just like this collector of talent, and that is almost bigger than
collector of
his
talent.
Own personal talent.
And also there's this idea that he's this crazy international man of intrigue, but there's also these cool people domestically he has, like her, who's in her the kid's laundry, you know?
And he helps her with, was it a college fund? He
helps
her with, like, he gives a generous donation.
Orthodontist bill, which sort of, like, means maybe... Yeah, I assume that maybe he knows the husband, the ex-husband, or the maybe deceased husband.
The one who's in, he's in prison.
Oh, he's in prison. Yeah, the president. Yeah. So
there
anyway.
Was. Oh, but did you see that little thing where she the Aram thing when she was watching the TV show? I can't remember what it was.
Days of Our Lives.
Amazing, and then switches it, and it's like all this
intelligent
data.
I was like.
Right.
Red comes
on a Cube TV from like
1999. Exactly. I mean, can Red get the sister a plasma? Can Red get the sister a flat screen TV?
Jody, that is an enormous, enormous detail catch you just did, because in the original draft of that script, it was one of those like 1950s, like, I don't know, the tube.
Oh, wow.
And there was a big discussion because they really wanted that for the look, but it technically wouldn't work.
Because you couldn't run a monitor.
So that I think they got to the closest old model
that could possibly run.
That was like a big discussion behind the scenes.
That's cool.
But that's a nice catch.
That's interesting.
And they're also running sort of DOS. They're not running high-powered, like, graphical information.
Exactly.
It's just data.
So we get through that. So there is a daring rescue of Navavi with a wrestler and a drone, and Aram's involved, and it's fantastic. But I want to get to the two scenes that involve Navavi. The first with Harold, where I was shocked to shit that she wasn't dismissed from the task force. I mean, she's already, like, a double agent, essentially. But Harold, like, squared off with her and really kind of read her the riot act, but kind of said, listen, like, I've given you my trust. I've earned your trust. I need to trust you as well. Go home and think about it.
Where does your allegiance lie?
Where's your allegiance lie?
Which I've always wondered.
Come back in the morning. And it's like, that's just a confirmation of that. Like, this is a family they formed here, they built here. This is a team. Like, he wants Liz reinstated. Like, wrestler's there to stay. You know, Bobby's there. Like, only us can do this one thing. So, I need you. I know you made a mistake. I trust you. So, I need you to trust me as well. I thought that was really
cool. And he says, think about it. Either your allegiance is here or it's not. Think about that and either come back in the morning or don't. Another scene where Cooper is like calling people out, like no BS.
There was that moment where she said, I don't have to think about it or something like that, or I know where my allegiance lies. I was like, which one?
Yeah.
Which one? Is she going to show up tomorrow morning? Which one?
That's
my natural instinct was like, oh, well, it lies with the Mossad. Like,
that's what I thought.
Her home country. Which, not her adopted country, but she didn't say.
But I also was thinking, isn't she, I mean, this goes back to season one, right?
Season two.
Or season two. Like, isn't she kind of there because of Red anyway? Didn't he get her in there in the first place?
Yeah, this is...
She was sort of there for him in the first place.
Like, almost as like a...
Like a mole-ish
person.
Yeah, exactly. But, so I'm always a little conflicted.
There.
Like, I love her.
But
she's
like
one of my
everyone,
favorite characters.
She was put under Elizabeth Keen's spell.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Until she wasn't this season.
Until she wasn't.
She's also a no BS.
And that's when she was nearly fired, was when she was, like, mad at Liz.
Yeah, the whole time.
Espionage is fine.
Yeah, she was, that's totally fine, but don't you turn on
Liz. Well, she was nearly fired because Coop was like, you either do your job now or you don't. And our job is to catch, like, find... Like, we have to protect, like, Liz and Agnes. I don't remember exactly. That was a while ago.
Right.
Liz and Agnes and do our job to catch Kirk or whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
And it was like, get your feelings, put your feelings aside, as all professionals have to do, and do your job.
Yeah.
So, again, Coop.
But this
no
is
BS.
So much worse what she did, isn't it?
Well, but isn't that what's... I mean, in my opinion, isn't that like, you know, everyone's kind of got their thing? And, like, what's cool about her is you just kind of never know where her... Where she, you know... Where she stands on things, and she, like I remember in last season, 308, where you know everyone was sort of forced to lie to each other, wrestler Rob, but she had tipped off. Remember, she had tipped
is
off.
This
in
when
the
she had sex with wrestler that episode, and then she went to his computer.
Post-coital.
Which really hurt you to the core.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry.
Don't bring that up.
Still hurts, huh?
But it led to a lease, sort of, I guess. Maybe.
Oh, that
I don't
is
know.
A great
you got
decision.
Yours.
Good decision making.
Don't forget there was April Rodehorst in his past.
Porn addiction.
She was into some weird stuff.
There was something I was just saying about. What did she do that? She tipped somebody off and basically was not working with the task force, was trying to help because she didn't trust the cabal. She ended up being right in sort of the larger plot, but was doing something against. It wasn't exactly for Red, but it was.
It was to help Lizzie. Wasn't she talking to Lizzie?
She was, and Liz was like, don't. But she did something else. There was something else that was real. She tipped off Tom. To leave the Chinese restaurant because Solomon was coming.
Yeah,
she knew Solomon was coming, and Wrestler got there late. And Wrestler's like, "Where's Solomon?" And he find out she was like, "I tipped them off." It was in that little explosion
scene. Yeah,
you're right. So it wasn't just that she was protecting Lizzie. She actually took it a step further and fully was lying to all of us. And Wrestler couldn't catch Solomon.
Yeah, I miss Solomon.
So that was like she can go any way. It's usually for the. I mean, it's always for like a. Her own lot, like Reddington has his own moral code. She has more, and always falls on the side of like,
her
a version
good.
Of justice, but it's not always aligned.
But
with
it
death,
is. You're right.
Is
and, and it's very much in the same vein as what we allow Red. We allow that Red has got his own sense of right and wrong, and we allow the same for Samar. You're 100% right. That's so interesting, and it's interesting that she's Mossad, and it's interesting to me, and it's I think it's indicative of the way we think of Israel as a country because it's something we're very comfortable with the idea that she's with Mossad. Any other country, I can't really think that we would be as comfortable. Does that make any sense?
I mean, if she was with MI5 or something.
Maybe. But the British and the Israelis, I mean, but beyond that, would you accept that character in that role?
I think there's a lot of intelligence sharing between the U.S. that we don't know about.
Germany,
a lot of European countries.
Sure, Germany has an audience. We share.
But as an audience, we accept it. Does that make any sense?
No, it don't make total sense.
But it depends who you ask when you're asked that question, though.
I do want to get to the key scene here. So after that, the reason I brought that up, the Harold scene, is because I, you know, sort of breathe a sigh of relief. I'm like, oh, well, we're out of the woods. Navabi's all good. Let's get to that dinner. And of course, she gets to you, and she's kind of like, well... That was crazy, right?
Can I go? I know. The scene before that with her and Aram was, don't forget, I love this. The first scene we had when she was like, you're going to be fine, that just be yourself.
Yes.
And what's so interesting is that she wasn't little writer things.
Yeah.
Like, she was not herself with me and with the task force.
Yeah.
Which is like just... But she was on another level.
Yeah.
It was one of my favorite episodes for Mojan. Not just because she got a central role in the plot, but if you watch it, it's a little bit of a Usual Suspects. If you watch the episode again, there's a couple episodes that do this where there's really like double and triple meaning.
Yeah.
And if you watch every scene she's in, knowing what she knows and what she says, it works both in task force terms and in Mossad terms. She's like, let's get the lead because she wants to bury the lead, but she needs the lead too. So it's just beautiful. And I just like loved her work last night.
Yeah.
And also as she's getting more hurt, where she was like beat up, she was kidnapped, And then she, then in that ambulance scene with Odette Fair, Levy, mm-hmm. it was so great. And then when Coop gets it, you see the progression. It's just like, it's like real and raw.
And to be able to play that, like straight down the line, like with your allegiances on both sides, and really like, and then if we can see it, it'd be interesting to watch it again, knowing what we know.
I recommend it. Watch The Blacklist again. Ooh. It really is like there's another one, Ray DeVries, the episode last season where there was the red doppelganger.
Yes.
Daniel Knopf wrote that. You can watch that four times.
Wow.
Because there's about four different meanings, three or four different meanings in any line about Red and the doppelganger. And it was first time I had ever realized, I was like, wait, is Red who he says he is?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like on a whole level.
Yeah, yeah.
That was,
and
such
that was
a
the
good
first
episode.
Time that planted that concept of mine, even though Ray DeVries was Ray DeVries.
Right.
But I want to go back and say one more thing. You're finishing up on the Samara Ram kind of train. The scene after he gives her Yusuf Talisi and we find out it's Ezra Miller, mm-hmm. when she comes back, she's, give me a second, she comes back and she goes, I checked.
Yeah.
He's totally, he's legit.
Yeah.
And, you know, sorry. And, like, I was like, oh, man, I let the task force down. And she's like, yeah, that lead's dead.
Yeah, way to go,
Rob. That's a direct lie.
That's a direct lie. A little bit.
And not only that, she let you or your character believe that he had sort of, you know, like, oh, I let the task force down. Yeah, well, yeah, sorry, buddy. Try again next time.
You created this brilliant logarithm, and it didn't work.
Correct.
All your work was garbage.
Right? And so that's, like, in my prep as an actor and in my world, that was like key event.
Yeah.
And also, and then of course he's like, you know, I was okay, I got released, I'm not under suspicion anymore from the deposition. And she's like, that's amazing, and hugs him.
Yeah.
And it was like the first one who shows emotional care for his neuroticism, and he's like, hugging back. And then he does the first thing he'd ever done in four seasons. He made a move and asked her out on a date. Or she says it's a date, but he's like, do you want to have dinner?
Mm-hmm.
It's something. And so it was like, I just love the writers for that scene.
Yeah.
Just like putting the two right on top of each other, direct lie and a hug and I'm making a move.
You know, I did rewatch it. I watched it last night and then I watched it again this morning before I came in. Same sort of thing. Knowing what I know, I wanted to see, you know, what I missed. And I just really wanted to watch her performance a little bit closer.
Oh, thank you.
And
that's
in
cool.
that moment where she does give you that direct lie of that's, I checked the guy out, totally fine. Actually, both the scenes where she said, you know, let me take it and I'll check it out. And the other scene where she says, nah, it was nothing. Like, there was a definite, like, I could tell a little shift in her
great,
acting ability.
Great
it was
acting,
brilliant.
Yeah.
It was very, very subtle.
Great.
But it seemed like it was a little bit harder for her to lie to you than it was to everyone else.
Oh, wow. Right. Nice observation. I'll tell Mojan you said that.
That's definitely noticed that, too. And I think we've, like, touched on this about Samar, but she... You never know what's going on with her because only she knows what's going on with her. She's
exactly.
so principled mm-hmm. and she, you know, she's very black and white. Like she has
her code.
She knows exactly what she's doing. She knows what she thinks is right and wrong. And this with Aram is kind of the first time that I think she might regret something in the end. She's going to regret her decision. She seemed conflicted when each time she was telling him a lie, and definitely, you know, regret crosses through her like beautiful, soulful eyes when he's telling her that there's no chance now. He can't be with a woman who's done that.
There was also that moment where you were sort of putting her down, but just saying, you know, I don't want a rain check, and you two were gazing at each other, and you were talking about, you know, someone I could see myself marrying, have a family with, growing old with, and I was brought back to when Lizzie was pregnant, and she was, like, gonna throw a baby shower, and there was, like, this feminine side of her, this emotional feminine side of her that came out that we very rarely see in Navabi, that you can see that she wants something more than just this, and that was a little heartbreaking.
Yeah, and she finishes the sentence at the end.
Yeah.
Someone who's a spy, whose allegiances you can't trust. She realizes that's not somebody that Aram can...
Can't do that again.
Again, another double meaning there. And I want to unpack that scene because I thought that was a beautiful scene, really, really beautifully written and acted. I think that was... You know, that scene was heartbreaking for me because, as you said earlier, we've finally been waiting for this for freaking three seasons at least. Aram finally does get to ask her out, and like, this is it.
I'm awesome.
Like, yeah, it's happening. And then we all kind of realize in that moment, for reasons that are pretty goddamn logical and make a lot of sense, where you're coming from, as much as we all want to be like, no, Aram, do
is
it.
That, is that what's the best about long form TV?
Yeah.
Yeah, but as you laid it out, you're kind of like, yeah.
I totally got it. Like, I got it for you. Like, I agree. I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah.
Only because I'm, like, obsessed with those two scenes where she lied.
Yeah.
I also appreciate by the writers that they're smart enough that Aram is a tiny bit distracted with the case and sure. with her lying potentially because of the deposition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
of
and
course.
Then, so first he's got the deposition; it went bad, and then yeah. he's cleared. So he's kind of like, so there's like a slight. So it's like a perfect setup for her right. slight shift and his slight distraction
right.
for
Absolutely.
This lie to happen. Anyway, I'm done with that.
No, let me ask sure. you a question about that because I think it's such an interesting thing because I think Samara is so much more a tragic character than just about anybody else on the show because she's the one who is so knowingly compromised, and I think that's why she was so angry with Lizzie after she got in on the shower. She got in on the whole thing, and she let her guard down. And then when Lizzie turned around and it turned out it was all BS and essentially slapped him all in the face, I think that's why she was so hurt by it. And it's interesting to see that scene with the two of you because you're not a tragic character. Oh. And it seems to me the difference is that you don't betray yourself. And that no matter how much shit happens, you don't betray you. And that is, I think, what separates you from being a tragic character. I think that's maybe the difference, at least in the way you guys structure this show.
Yeah.
I love that.
Well put,
I think Joe. I think that's probably what makes them have an interesting dynamic. Because they're really so, I don't want to say opposite, but I mean, she's so tough.
Right.
And so close to the vest, and he's sort of so open. And like, yeah, she'll betray a lot of different things in order to, but it's not really betraying because it's her code, too.
Right, absolutely.
But her code is like, she'll betray on the outside, which is her truth, and he can't do that so much. He can't, like, tell a lie. And right. So I think that's one of the reasons that makes the dynamic. You know, and she's almost like the tougher stoic.
Yeah. Well, yeah, definitely.
For lack of a better word, no, I won't use that. I was going to say like sort of like traditional male, mm-hmm. and he's more of the traditional
well,
female,
it
the
does.
Sensitive, and she's more stoic. But
yeah.
I'm all for gender fluidity.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that there are gender, you know, and
gender
character norms being played with her, and that she's the sort of the big tough field agent spy.
But what's neat about
she's
it?
She's also so vulnerable underneath.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
see
yeah,
those
really.
Cracks.
And when she says to you, what she says. To you to when you're going into to talk with Panda Baker, it's not just here's how you get through Panda Baker. It's this is real advice from somebody who is not allowed to be this way. Just be
yeah.
you.
Right.
Just be yourself. And that can come from a like I have genuine affection, maybe even love for you, and I can just say this to you. And Cynthia Panda Baker aside, like that's from somebody who's not allowed to be that. You know what
yeah.
I mean? That's so interesting.
Yeah.
And it prevents you from being a tragic character.
She
I
also,
love
what
that.
Does she also says she goes just she goes you're a, what she says
you're a you're trusting a, soul, you're a
trusting person who believes in people.
Yes.
And and she goes everyone just do that and everyone will see that.
Yes.
Which
yeah.
means which to Aram is like you see me.
You see me?
Right. In a way that yeah, I didn't absolutely. Even see myself, which yeah. is like obviously a way that people fall in love.
I mean, which makes it sort of all the more tragic, but at least we do get a ray of hope. I think that again I know what a well excellent well-written episode, the last thing we get with Navabi and her interaction with my other Mossad dude, who I love.
Levy, sure.
He's great. I loved him on Covert Affairs and a bunch of other stuff where he also plays Mossad agent.
He was.
He's great.
He was also, he was the male gigolo in Deuce Bigelow.
That's right.
Which famously. I saw in high school.
Yes.
Well cast.
I saw
yes.
it in high school and I was with two... Yeah, I'll just. This is stupid. So I was with two of my best friends from high school, and when we saw that movie,
was one of them April Rotterhouse?
and Sheila Hernandez. Yeah, no. When we saw that, like he came on the screen with his like Middle Eastern ridiculous accent and his long hair, and it was a good accent, but it was funny. And he comes on, and he's like, "Hello," and both my friends just turned to me, and they're like, "Amir." So they're dying now that I'm like on a show. Oh, and we're in like a love triangle.
Oh my God.
I tweeted something about that last night. It was for them.
That's awesome.
Look at that.
That's amazing.
You heard it here in AfterBuzz, and that's funny. So
I
did love that last scene where she gets to be able to confess to him that I'm sorry it's not going to work out.
Wow.
And what's wrong with that guy? That guy's pretty perfect, you know. But, you know, I'm in love with someone else. And just the thought that she's looking at this guy.
It's him. It's him that she's in love with.
Long time. Also sort of rock jawed Mossad agent who they share all kinds of things with to look him in the eye and say I'm in love with this other guy, this analyst.
And she says it after Aram says
no
way.
Yeah.
So,
she,
so it's like, you know, human condition is like, all right, that's not going to work. Let me go back. And then, no, she's done her principle.
So can I tell you? Steps will be.
And when you're watching that scene, at least for me anyway, I when I was watching the first like maybe like two beats of that scene, I was like, God damn, she gets done. Amir kicks her and then she goes right over it.
Yeah. Blacklist emotional twist.
Right? And I'm like, don't do that. And then she flips her. I'm like, all right, you're cool.
Right. So that was great. I mean, we were. I'm skipping over just obviously all the rest of the stuff. We could talk about stuff with Liz and also some red stuff.
One thing,
President elect, can I?
And all that stuff. But I'm much more interested in talking about this stuff, because I think that it's important to know that this episode was wonderful in giving us things about the characters, again, about characters that we care about. We care about all the characters, but as opposed to the procedural or the blacklist of the week, this actually was a sneaky Trojan horse episode where we really got to get deep into this relationship, and I thought it was a wonderful episode. I wouldn't say that, so... Congratulations.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Those are my favorite episodes too, when we get more than when the task force gets more to do than solve an FBI case, then we get to like be personally involved and so forth.
I've just been so invested in who's the daddy and Lizzie and Alexander. You know, I missed you guys. Yeah. You know,
and also
we're so focused.
And also, I will also say that it's also great to have a media episode that we can come back to, because usually we come back from the break and it's like fireworks. It's Angelo Garrick. It's something's happening. Shit's blowing up. Someone's gotten kidnapped. And this is just sort of like, we've got some good characters.
Someone did get run on over a van, but pretty brutally.
Farouk Al-Thani.
Farouk
is on.
And Rustler just gives him a look and
strolls away. Yeah. I was like, badass. Okay, badass, Will Wrestler.
No one's going to say.
Farouk is on fire.
And no one's going to say what the Farouk
is on fire. I missed that. That's right.
So we have about like.
No.
Are you going to dance with
me? No, I can't. Six, eight more minutes. I just want to find out
when Wrestler has time to shave in these episodes. I really think at some point they have to show him shaving, because he shaves six times a day. And I think it's. At some point, I want to see it.
I want to get to a bunch of Aram questions. We got some questions, because all this whole time, it's like, when things are happening, we loved. I mean, there's things from, you know, the bicycle we loved. Like, you know, it's like, oh, he's riding the bike. But we want to get some questions and some thoughts on Aram. But I want to get to some of the questions that some of the folks online have for you as well. And let's see. Andrew Martin wants to know, how are Amir's computer skills compared to Aram's?
They've improved since I've started working on the show.
Yes.
Lots of research. And I've always said, you know, when I get asked that question, there's a video playback department on shows and on movies, which are basically, their job is to be in charge of screens. Any computer screen, the screen of Red's helper, phones, the big overheads, their job is to make sure we build something that matches the plot and the story and so forth. And they work with the art department, who build stuff, and they make it move and animate it and so forth. So they're actually like the real nerds, the real hacker nerds of the show. And of course, Dave Metzger in the writer's room does almost all of the writing for the hacker stuff. And so forth. I was actually just talking to him last night, and we were just emailing today about some stuff in an episode coming up. So he does like the research, and so then I feel like my main job on the show is actually to implement what Dave wrote in a sort of human way that can be sort of true to hacker culture as well as digestible for, you know, non-hackers, the general public, but also match what was built by the animation department.
Ooh, yeah.
So it looks real.
Right. Yeah.
And so I'm just trying to like make sure, you know, and so forth. But, you know, when there's like a big thing that he does, I always kind of like do my best to find out how to do that.
I mean, so a couple of things.
Like
I mean,
tough job.
You know, I, you know,
did, all that mumbo jumbo.
Well, I just did a bunch of stuff with the Star Trek folks, and there's a lot of techno babble there. So, it's what he's writing, is he writing mostly techno babble-ish stuff, or is it sort of real-ish things that he's writing in terms?
I think I said this one time. It's the speed at which things happen on the TV show, and it's like, set it up. Here's the address. Like,
right?
No way.
In real life, I it probably takes. But the show is da-da-da-da-da. So if you look, I'm always trying. The second there's a clue, I'm like, I need as much time to, type as fast as possible so I can, like, even sometimes like, okay, wait, just to give it a, just to give it a second to come up.
And I really appreciate that, because that's my like least favorite trope in the movie world. I've talked about all the time, the movie hacker, what it's like.
Yeah, me too.
Head into the Pentagon.
Me too.
I'm almost in, first firewall down.
Yeah, me too.
Now I'm in. It's like, wait, what? How do you do that?
Now that I
into the Pentagon? Five keystrokes?
Yes. All I can see is that now. All I can see on TV shows and movies, because that's what my job. I'm like,
let's see, the Kremlin.
You were absolutely not typing anything.
Yeah, so, I do appreciate that. That's great. Another question people want to know, are you guys still, are you done filming? Are you still, is there still more to go?
No.
How far are you?
Yeah, so 409 aired last night, and I start filming on Monday, episode 414.
Oh, okay. So you guys are only a couple
weeks
ahead.
That's
great. Well, that's not great, but that's cool. I guess you don't know the answer to this. Maybe you do. Are we going to get another big bad at the end of the season?
I don't know.
You don't know.
All I know is 414.
Okay, that's
fair. Obviously.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So, I don't know, Jody, you have anything for our guy here?
Well, you know, I was wondering earlier when we were talking about that very sweet moment where Tamar says, just be yourself. What does she say? That you're a trusting person who sees the best in people. And when they see that in the deposition, you know, that they'll kind of be sold. But I was wondering, are those good attributes to have in an FBI agent? And how do you think that plays out on the team?
Jody with the tough question.
obviously that's exactly what makes everyone. That's what makes him lovable.
Well,
and how are those things that make him?
Thank you.
A good FBI agent. Well, which he obviously is.
A few things. Okay, so first of all, he was himself because he just blabbermouthed about his ex girlfriends,
right.
And it actually cleared him.
Right.
So he got cleared by being himself. So in that way. It worked, and she was right, and you know, so that's one. Two, you know, there's enough people who are covert and secret on the show. I think it's probably good for a show to have someone who is not good at that, and it's probably why they keep Aram in the post office doing communications and tactical and research and hacking and money trails because he's not good at lying, but I'm pretty sure Aram doesn't, when he rides his bike home, he doesn't tell anyone what he does, and he's pretty good about that. And he said to Elise, even when he was there, I was like, I can't really talk about it. How's work? I was like, good guys, bad guys, usual stuff. And he's like, course he was trying to avoid talking to her about anything. But so that's what I would say about that. But my theory of the sort of general theme of the show is I'm not going to say Shades of Grey. That's a movie. The Grey Zone. That's another movie.
Don't get me back to April Roadhouse.
The Shades of Moral.
Did have a porn addiction.
Well, I'm on it.
You have a secret porn addiction. You need to find the April Roadhouse.
Secret about it. Sorry.
They'll call me Black and Thorn for nothing. What's the name?
Black and Kincaid.
Thank you.
Black Thorn Kincaid.
Thank you. All right. I'm sorry.
So, wait, what was I saying? Jody?
Your theory behind the show, there are shades.
What is his code? What is Samar's code? How far is the task force? Even Wrestler has, bent the rules. And how far has everyone will start bending their moral codes? I think Aram is the last frontier of a goody-goody two-shoes. And remember, he hacked the counterintelligence measure without a warrant, and it felt exciting. He's slowly inching his way to, I think everybody is being pulled to a place that they're, that is, not necessarily morally where they stood at the beginning of the series. And maybe that's the sort of the influence and the shadow of Reddington in all of our lives.
Yeah. It's a heavy stamp on the whole scene.
So, but also on the last thing, in sort of a fun thing for TV shows, that one time Aram had to go undercover with Elise,
right.
We all know as a character thing that he's not good at lying, like you said, Jody, and he has to lie.
Right.
So that's just, fun as an actor and fun for all of the characters, I think, to deal with in dynamics and stuff.
Let me ask you a question. The two times you've been on our show, you are so detail oriented with regard to, hey, didn't that thing happen? You're like, these were the lines, and this is when it happened. This was the episode. This is where in the episode it was. Did your teachers go nuts with you when you were a kid? Were you the kid actually, Mrs.
No.
Johnson, that's not what happened?
Only with subjects that I was passionate about.
So is that the deal?
I'm quite ADD, and actually I have a quiet time. It takes me a long time to read something. And so I think it's a little bit of a compensating measure. And also, I'm reading this inspirational quotes like Anderson Cooper and all the acting teachers and writing teachers, find what you love. And if there's absolutely nothing you can do, absolutely nothing else you can do, do that, because that's the thing you will work hard at. And so I absolutely, as from a young age, just loved storytelling and loved acting.
So you're crazy focused on that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm always, and I'm neurotic enough to, like, fear not doing my best. Like, even if somebody doesn't like what I do, but if I know if I don't do my best, I can't sleep at night. So just because my own, like, pride in you know, proving to my parents that I do a good job or something, you know. So it's, like, it's based in that. And so, like, and also because it takes me so long to study, so then I actually get a longer, deeper sort of.
Yeah, there's
I
nothing know. Surface about your. But about
I I'm so forgetful and I mix up memories. I made fun of the, like, well, Jean's like, you can't remember this thing that happened in life or that we talked about, but you remember 402 and right. 306. Yeah. And I was like, because I'm studying that obsessively because right. of the fear of not doing my best.
Well, oh, I know you had a short film that came out that you directed and starred in, right?
Thank you. Yep.
So how did that detail-oriented side of you, how did that sort of all come together in that way? That seems like a huge project.
I'll talk a little bit about that, but I don't want to steal too much time away from the rest of the episode.
No, we got that.
In fact,
but I will.
We're done, unfortunately, folks. No. We're done talking about the episode as it were.
Oh.
Because, no, we're not done. We're close to being done.
Oh, okay.
We're done talking about the episode as it were. We're spending time with Aram now. We are doing some Blacklist-oriented questions and some Amir-oriented questions.
I don't want to not...
No, of course. But we'd love to hear that. I do also have another Aram-oriented question as well, but let's do this first. Thank you.
Okay, so we have the speeded version is, you know, I've been wanting to direct more, too. So long story short, the directing and the acting part were, and I've done enough, I'm sure we've all done enough self-tapes. So, like, I'm used to, I didn't want to act in the first thing I directed on camera, but based on that story and that role, I was sort of so obsessed with that role and actually couldn't find anyone that I was doing what I wanted.
What's the name of the Fortress.
And so those two actually, I prepared them separately and then melded them and also just prepared. I always teach young actors and, you know, anyone who wants to be in this business in any field, prepare. So I prepared my butt off both that. The part that was not natural for me was the producing, and that's where I got my ass kicked, and it was a lot harder, and there's a specific talent for producing, and
sure.
I don't have it. I mean, I could be a consulting creative producer, but I cannot be a producer with all that stuff. So the acting and directing came quite natural,
okay.
and I loved it.
Thank you. I have is on the character stuff. Is like, since the last time we spoke and now, Aram has been really, really developed and fleshed out as a character. And I think a lot of that's the writers, a lot of that's the detail you put into it. These details, like, again, seeing him ride his bike, the fact that he rides his bike, you know, and that to work and around in Washington, and all these little details, how much of that just comes in the script, or how much of these discussions do we have about this is the kind of guy Aram is? I mean, how much are you involved in that? How much is that just like, this is what it is, and you bring that to life?
I really respect the writers in the writer's room, and I like to stay in my lane as much as I can and just interpret. But whenever there's like a tiny little logic, you know, not error, but like loophole, I was like, then I'll point it out or I'll remind them. I was like, remember, I don't know something, just little things. And they're like, usually they're like, wow, thank you, that helps. And there'll be a little rewrite. And every now and then, like early on, I would like drop in I think they were talking about, someone was telling me like Aram would, how he gets place to place. And I remember being like, you know, I was like, Aram is like environment conscious. You know, he would have like a moped
right.
or something. And, you know, and then, you know, he would have like a little moped helmet that he brings to work or something. And then became a bike, which
right.
is even better
right.
and even smarter. And so sometimes every now and then I'll drop a little something, or they'll ask me what I think. And they usually then take that and run with it 10 times better than I could have thought of.
Right.
And then just from that, they just know the character so well now, too, that they're just like, I get these things, I'm like, oh, I love it. That's even better than I could have thought. Like, and it's so fun. So probably there's like a synergy with all the actors and as they're writing to the people and so forth that they have. And I think there's a little influence from all the actors and so forth. But it is for most, I think as the starting gate, we're all working together. And now it's like off and running.
You're one of the few on the show that we get these little idiosyncrasies, you know, and we see a little like your apartment and sort of the behind the scenes, what happens in Aram's life. His backstory is the one I am most fascinated by. I'm sure as an actor, prepare. You came up with an entire backstory, which I won't ask you about.
Most. You never know in TV or in soaps and stuff. Your backstory could be totally different and revealed to you. So you want to have like a backstory that's
loose,
so enough, yeah, so you can play something specific, but not be like, you know,
right.
like I,
yeah.
you know, it hasn't been revealed. I mean, I have my idea,
right.
but it hasn't been revealed yet. who in Aram's family, how many brothers or sisters, if he has any. That none of that's been revealed. So, I mean, I have my idea to a certain extent, but it's you have to stay open.
I'm going to last one to do is in our questions slash prediction. We'll have a couple minutes left. The question is...
you want to talk about Red and Liz and...
Oh, well, we'll get into that in our predictions kind of question. But I do have a question. I mean, in light of the climate we live in, because, you know, most of our spy, you know, literature and pop culture have to do with sort of like the climate that we're living in now. The climate that we're living in right now. So, like, now we're in a climate of hacking and hacks and, you know, and China and Russia and sort of, you know, this is a large part of where we are from our national defense and national security.
100%.
So, I mean, do you think, have the writers talked to you about maybe this being a part of what we're doing in the Blacklist, since you guys are on the front lines of that? I mean, look, you guys are the FBI. FBI has also been in the news. You guys are the FBI. You're the main cyber guy in the FBI. I mean, do you think we have a lot more Aram heavy arcs coming because of this?
I don't know. It'd be great if so. That's the one. I mean, I think it's a scary time because of what you said. I mean, the only silver lining is that I'm in a role at the time of sort of this zeitgeist of this sort of a WikiLeaks era.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that you know these storylines, you know, the Law and Orders, the Blacklist,
Homeland did a whole season last year, you know,
on the on what ripped from the headlines sort of thing. So, you know, there has been a number of, you know, each season I feel like there's two or three hackings, Ariat Kane and that guy, and then there's been a few. Elise, obviously, and the Thrushes. So I always think that's scary, and it's so both being scary and being in the sort of computer role in the show. It's both exciting as an actor, but absolutely awful, I think, in our current world climate. It's so dangerous.
I agree.
So scary.
We
can't defend. I mean, we're the United States, and our nominees are vulnerable. Our Yahoo. I had a Yahoo account. It was a billion accounts.
Everybody got hacked.
Yeah, accounts on a major U.S. company.
It's insane. Yeah.
So, you know, protect us, Aram. We're gonna get at it, but we're gonna do some predictions first, and ask you some questions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I'm gonna start with you, Jody. What are your predictions for the next couple of episodes?
You always start with me, and I'm so mad.
I always start with Julia.
So I love it when you're on the show, because he always starts with you instead of me.
But this time I'm going to start with you.
Or you always end with me, and then all the good predictions that I never would have thought of.
Yeah. What do you got?
Let's see. Well,
Blue Sky.
I think I am bad at predictions because, you know, as a critic, you kind of have to keep an open mind. But I will say, following last night's episode, my prediction is just that I've got that hope for Aram and Samar, which is kind of rare for me because I'm not really much of a romantic when it comes to DCV. But I just think this one has been developed so well, and it doesn't feel like kind of like your typical will they, won't they. It's kind of like can they or can't they. And I think that Samar gave us a little bit of hope by saying, you know, she's still, even though she got the big reject, she still proclaimed that that she's in love with someone else. So I'm staying tuned.
Well, yeah.
But if you don't mind, I'll piggyback right there. I would say, now, if I were a television writer, I would stretch this out a little bit longer, because I think there has to be another caper. Say that there has to be another caper before, you know, if I were writing for Aram and I had a talented actor like Amir, I would say that I would want one more caper at least where she can absolutely, you know, I like the vision in my head is like Aram falling from a skyscraper and she catches him like you know at the bottom and she's like, I got you, baby.
Then they make out in the rain.
In the rain. Of course it's raining.
Of course.
Why wouldn't it be? But like, there's got to be something else that happens for him to trust. That's what I would think. I don't know. Obviously,
sure,
you know more than we do.
I think this is a long game here.
I'm
it's a long con.
Quick gratification from the Blacklist in this regard.
That's true. We got four seasons before we found out who her dad
ain't
was.
Ain't gonna happen next week.
We've got like 30 seconds, but I want to ask you a direct pointed prediction. Like, how the heck are we gonna get into the Blacklist redemption? Like, what's gonna happen there? Like,
that's a great question. They're filming the first episode besides the one we saw planted last season. The first episode now.
Okay.
Like right now.
Okay.
I think a lot of that's being fleshed out. I don't know.
Right.
And I read that they're going to air the 8 episodes that have been ordered inside of the gap, inside of our next hiatus.
Oh.
So we're going to see Blacklist, then we're going to see Redemption, right. and then we're going to go back to Blacklist.
That's good.
Smart.
I don't know. Literally. I think the timelines will match colon. To a Blacklist certain extent.
Colon. Right. Blacklist, colon, Redemption.
That's a pretty big relief for a recap.
Smart, yes. Smart, smart.
Okay, we got to get out of here because we are late. We are way over. Thank you.
Oh my God, yes. We can talk
Red,
forever.
Red got Liz her badge back in yes. a wonderful oh, yeah. scene
yes,
with the president-elect.
Yes!
I just thought those were all awesome. With the
Very awesome. And, Liz is back.
Liz back.
And the baddie from Blackthorn Kincaid with that, you know, sort of British-American yes. guy.
Yeah. The Boston thing happening.
Yeah, yeah, sure. That was, oh, my bad. But I love that British. Actor. I didn't know what that was.
Great. That's all great. So the gang is all back together again, assuming Navabi shows up for work, which I'm assuming she will. Folks, where can the people find you on Twitter and whatnot?
Oh, yeah, thank you. It's very simple. It's my name. My Twitter handle is Amir Arison, and my Instagram handle is Amir Arison. And that's it.
Yeah, thank you so much for being on.
Yes, I love AfterBuzz.
No, it's great.
You guys are the best. Thank
Jody,
you.
Where can the kids find you?
At the Jody Walker on Twitter. There it is.
Okay. And me, I'm at Joe K. Braswell on Twitter and Instagram. Joe's at Joe Sam Flippo.
At Joe Flippo.
At Joe Flippo. She's at Julia
Carey.
At both. Thank you so much for joining us. We love you all. We'll see you next
Happy
time.
New Year.
Bye. Thanks, Happy guys. New Year.
Happy
Bye.
New Year.
Thank you.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.